Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh Radio program on a wonderful, thrilling Thursday right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. Thanks for tuning in today. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And with a GPS, we are not impossible to find. back at the day before GPS, you had to give landmarks and stuff like that, but you just type in either Merritt Assembly of God or 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, and it'll give you directions right to us. And if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. So thank you once again. Today we want to send out greetings to Coastal Image Landscapes. I was talking to a person in another state, and they were describing their landscaping and how lush it was and how beautiful it was. And they were describing how there are several people in a row that have the same landscaper, and there was only one of them that needed to have their lawn mowed on that particular day, and that was them. And so what they were saying is, we have the most beautiful lawn in our neighborhood. And I don't know what your neighborhood looks like. I don't know about the lawn situation there. But if you are looking to upscale your exterior appearance of your house and your lawn, I want to recommend to you the expertise that is available through Dan and his team at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. That's the company phone number. That'll get you in touch with David. But Dan is the one who I have dealt with and have met his daughters as they were. They're part of that team, and I'm telling you, their crew is just exceptionally hardworking. They know what to do. And you don't have to, you know, stand over them and make sure that they get the job. They want to get the job done faster than you want them to get the job done. They are excellent at what they do. Phenomenal people. And I would just recommend Dan and his team, 321-208-2281. If you're needing pavers or renew your landscape, I used them at my house for pavers, and they planted some new plants, and they also redid my sod for me in my backyard, upgraded my sprinkler system, and at the church they've done things to help remove the rust stains from getting on our building. And I'd painted the building a couple of years ago and had already had to repaint one area three times. They came out, installed a tank, and told me what to put in it, and now I don't have that problem that I did before. They are really, really good at what they do, and I encourage you to call Dan and his team at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281, and you will be glad that you did. If you do call them, I want to encourage you to do this. Pray for those people that are out there in the heat and the humidity. Don't just look at it as a transaction. Look at it as an opportunity to be a blessing. And not only are you blessing them with work, they're blessing you with their skill set, but bless them in prayer. Pray for them. Whenever you drive down the road, I know that school is back in session now, so you want to use the school zones as prayer opportunities to pray for the kids and the teachers. But also, I know that whenever you drive down the road, you see road crews and electrical crews and all sorts of landscapers and things like that. Use that opportunity to pray for those that you know that are working in the harsh elements outside, and you want to pray that God keeps them safe. I was talking to somebody recently. They were doing yard work and just about overdid it, and so pray for those people who are doing it every day, 8 hours a day. So pray for them that God keeps them safe. And I know that they will appreciate that greatly. We are going in the Word of God today to the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. And this is the Word of the Lord. God is speaking. We're going to begin looking at verse number 22. The concept that we are looking at is the limitations of united opposition against God. So we've gone through the book of Job and seen how God dealt with Job. Verse number 22, God says, "For I will rise up against them, says the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and offspring and posterity, says the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 24, "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" So in verse number 22, Isaiah 14, 22, God says, "I am going to rise up against them." Now, one of the most popular verses that people memorized is, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" That is absolutely a marvelous promise for the people of God. But that does not mean that God is for every human agenda that comes along. There is a lot of spiritual deception. There is a lot of carnality. There is a lot of fleshly motivated agendas, and God is not saying, "I am for all of those things." He's just not. A friend of mine posted something recently, and it was along these lines. He says, "If you feel that you have negotiated something with God that is more convenient and less involved on your part, you haven't negotiated a compromise. You've been deceived." As a born again believer, we are supposed to be all in our relationship with God, just the same way that He is all in His relationship for us. So that means that if there's anything in me that is not of God, that God is going to position himself against that aspect in my life because he wants it removed from my life. So God says, "I'm going to rise up against them," says the Lord. And he goes on, if you look down in verse number 24, it says, "This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth." So he is against the things that are opposed to his plan, to his purpose. So that means that there are people who have been used by him for a season, but it is not a long-term aspect of God's plan, and God is going to bring that back around. For instance, the children of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, they were carried off by the Assyrians. They were transplanted from their land into another land, and people from other lands were transplanted into the nation of Israel. That was a way of separating them from their culture, from their geography, and so that they would be more compliant underneath this domain of a foreign king. So God deals with the trespassing of the Assyrians. He deals with that in verses 24 through 27. He also deals in verse number 22 with the Babylonians, which is where the two southern tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, they were united under the banner of Judah. They were carried off in 586, 587 BC to the land of Babylon. The Assyrians came in and took over the 10 northern tribes in 721, 722 BC. So there was about 140 years in between those two situations. Think about that. You can read about that time frame in a few hours in your word, but chronologically, it's about a century and a half. It's a pretty substantial time frame, but God hasn't forgotten. And so he says, I'm going to rise up against them, says the Lord. I'm going to cut off from Babylon those who have been a harbor for captives from the tribe of Judah. I'm going to cut them off, and I'm going to cut off from Babylon. There are several things that he talks about. He says, I'm going to cut off the name. I'm going to cut off the remnant. I'm going to cut off the offspring. And I'm going to cut off the posterity. So I get this question that rises to my mind whenever I have to go to a funeral or a cemetery or anything like that. Does anybody remember how those people lived? They're at their earthly resting place. Does anybody remember anything about them? Well, if it's recent, then yes. But if it's very far back into the past, then there's not anybody who remembers. They don't remember if they were rich or they were poor, unless they've got a really fancy burial site. They don't remember if they were a good person or a bad person, unless they were just notorious. For the most part, much of humanity just is born, they live, and they die, and no one remembers anything about them. And God comes along and says, Babylon, which was one of the great kingdoms of the world, of the ancient world, he said, I'm going to cut off their name. There's not going to be anybody that goes about and says, I'm Babylonian. Okay, now the book of Revelation describes that the spirit behind the kingdom of Babylon, that spirit continues to influence cultures and nations all the way up to the end of humanity. But the name of those people that were used for ungodly purposes, that's going to be completely removed. Not only that, there's not going to be so much as a remnant that is left over. A remnant is a small portion of a representation of a whole nation. So what we're talking about here is a total removal from existence that God says, I'm going to rise up against. You don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to position myself in arrogance like Nebuchadnezzar, or recklessness like Belteshazzar or Belshazzar. I don't remember which one right now. You can go back and look in the book of Daniel, and you can find it was one of Nebuchadnezzar's, I believe it was his grandson, that used the utensils of the temple for his pleasure. And all of a sudden, God showed up at the debauchery and started writing on the wall, and they said, we've never seen anything like that before. We'd better call for Daniel, who has the spirit of excellence in him. And he comes and he says, keep your stuff. Your stuff has no value because you've been weighed in the scales and you've been found wanting. And that night, the kingdom was removed from his hands. God says, I'm going to rise up against them. I'm going to cut off from Babylon the name, the remnant, the offspring. That's their children. You know, one thing I know about parents who love is that they don't want to see anything bad happen to their kids. They would rather something bad happen to them instead of happening to their kids. We've got this warped segment of society that has that completely flipped right now, that says we want bad things to happen to our kids. We don't want anything bad happening to us. That's messed up. Parents are supposed to be equipping their kids for the future. They're not supposed to be viewing their children as an inconvenience. They're not supposed to be looking at them as a hardship. If you want to know why, one of the reasons why the children of Israel were carried off by the Assyrians, it was because they were offering their children as sacrifices to foreign gods because their children were an inconvenience. Our children aren't an inconvenience. They're our future. They're a source of joy. And, you know, my heart always breaks whenever I read a headline about generational breakdown and generational discord and generational conflict where, you know, two generations are warring against one another. Adults, we should be looking at our children the way the Bible describes them, as an heritage from the Lord, an inheritance from God. So much of what we do as society should be geared towards equipping our young people for the days ahead. And don't just equip them intellectually through school. Don't just equip them socially. Don't just equip them athletically. Don't just equip them financially. You need to first and foremost equip them spiritually, because all of those other things will leave them scarred if they are not born again. They need a relationship with God. So anytime somebody wants to talk to me about the economy, I want to ask them, how many people, how many cities, how many cars, how many pairs of schools, how many schools would have, or pairs of shoes, how many schools would have to be built? How many malls would still be thriving today if we had not eliminated 20% of our population over the past 50 years? That's a lot of people. You say, well, how many grocery stores? How many restaurants? You say, well, there's already too many people. Well, listen, I serve a God who is able to provide exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think or imagine. So much of the world's population is centered in two geographic regions. We would be tremendously better off had we had a better attitude, a better mindset towards children. And he said, I'm not only going to cut off the name, I'm not only going to cut off the remnant, the offspring, but I'm going to cut off the posterity, and that means all future generations. So not too long ago, I had the privilege of traveling up to visit my daughter and son-in-law and grandson, and the pastor said, okay, now we've got two families that are dedicating children, and each family has a credentialed Assembly of God minister in there. And so after we pray, I'm going to ask you to pray for your grandchild. I'm going to give you a bottle of anointing oil. I want you to anoint that child. I want you to pray a blessing over them and then hand that bottle to the dad so that he can pray. And so I wanted to pray for them that the blessings of God would extend to 1,000 generations. And I've told you before, I'm not sure which definition of a generation you want to use. Some people use 40, some people use 20, some people use a different number altogether. But if you think about that, 1,000 generations at 20 years a generation means that for the righteous, that God is just going to continue that line of blessing for as long as man endures. As long as man endures. But for the wicked, they're going to be cut off completely because of God's opposition. He said, not only that, I'm going to, for these people who have been used to keep my people in bondage, he said, I'm going to also make their land a possession for the porcupine and marshes of muddy water. I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, says the Lord of hosts. So one of the wonders of the ancient world was the gardens of Babylon. But you don't hear about those anymore. The region where Babylon exists, I've talked to people and they've come back and said there is nothing over there worth fighting for. It's not exactly renowned for its geographic beauty at this point in time. I'm sure there's some nice places, pretty warm and toasty. Not really known for its business expertise. It's basically known for trying to strike terror into the hearts of people around the world. And I will tell you that God says, look, when I get done with this kingdom, there's only going to be a few creatures that want to go around there. Everything else is going to be completely and totally wiped out. So there are people that live there, but it's not the people that were living there. They're gone. So let's look at verse number 24. This is Isaiah 14, verse number 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand. So anybody who stands in opposition against God, you need to understand this, that it's not what you think that matters. It's not what I think that matters. It is, what does God think? So let me talk to you just a minute. What does God think about you today? What does he think about me? What does he, you know, think about our relationship? What does he think about our behavior? Did you know that God thinks that an unjust business standard is something that he's not going to bless, that actually sets you up for a curse? It's talking about an unrighteous way of weighing. Everything was sold by weight. I remember seeing something here recently. The sizes of the products in the grocery store have all shifted. And there was a person that posted and said, we're selling things on the shelves. And the bag, it was like talking about a bag of chips, and it said, the bag is half empty. Well, I remember, I worked in a grocery store when I was basically from the time I was 16 until 18. I was already, you know, on my way to being a manager if I'd stuck with that, but God had other plans. My dad had other plans. And so I remember back in those days that the bag of chips had this saying on it, sold by weight, not by volume. Sold by weight, not by volume. And I remember coming across the verse in the New Testament where it says, it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, what I found with chips back in those days is if they were fried, if they were whole, it took up greater space in the bag, but if they were crumbled, if they had been pressed down, you could get a lot more in that bag. So we sow seed by weight, not by volume, but Jesus said you're going to reap with that same measure, only it's going to come back a bountiful harvest. So what does God think about your lifestyle? What does he think about this, the seed that you sow? Did he really die on the cross just so that you could continue and I could continue to live an aimless, wandering lifestyle void of the purpose of God? I don't think so. So I want to know, what does God think about this situation? I don't care what the political party thinks about this situation. I don't care what the newspaper thinks. I don't care what a talk show host thinks. I want to know, what does God think about this? So I was talking with a pastor that I used to work with. He was asking me to review some things and still have a great relationship, even though that was 33 years ago or something when I worked for him. He made this statement. He said, I don't really care what they taught a person in seminary. I want to know what the Word of God has to say. And so here's one of those surely statements that we find, which means truly, God's not going to lie to you. As I have thought, so it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. God says, I thought it before it's ever going to come to pass. I remember seeing an article written by the Walt Disney family. Walt Disney died before Disney World was open, from what I understand. And someone made the comment and said, it's too bad that Walt did not live to see what we're experiencing today. And the family's response was, actually, it was because Walt Disney did see that we have today what we experienced. He saw it before it became reality. I want you to know that God thinks, God has a plan. It's not unintelligent to believe in God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And you want to know what God thinks about behavior. You want to know what he thinks about you. We need to find out what it is, because that's what's going to come to pass. God bless you. You have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
God, slow me down. I'm like a river running, pressed to the ground. I feel it overcoming. I'm on my knees, I'm incomplete. Spirit.